Welcome to Incandescent Tarot, a podcast exploring how to integrate tarot and spirituality with everyday life. I'm your host, Gina Wysotsky. Join me as we tackle big questions like how to work with intuition, just why the tower is so intimidating, and what it means to develop a spiritual practice in this wild modern world. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the forecast for May of 2023. I am very excited to turn over the cards today. I feel like last month's reading was particularly helpful for me in a practical sense, and it was one that I had very close to my heart as I went through the past 4 weeks. So usually when I have that kind of intimate experience with the reading, you know, I'll be real, some of them hit home and some are less impactful. But anyway, having had a more impactful experience, I'm curious to see what that will usher in for us in May. So this is a fun one because I am actually on top of my schedule here and able to do this reading live. Usually I take a photo of the cards to send to subscribers so they can get a sneak peek, and I don't have it together and I do that and then record this, but I am proud of myself because I'm able to time it so that I can look at these for the first time while recording this for you all, which I feel like really preserves the magic of a true tarot reading. So here we go. Let us turn things over right here and you'll get to hear my exclamations. Can't hold it in, won't hold it in. Okay, I'm already a little miffed here, personally speaking. So I did a 10-card Celtic Cross reading for myself the other day. I haven't done one of those in maybe over a year. When I first started learning, I was an extra intense preteen and didn't want to learn piddly little small spreads to start. I went straight to the Celtic Cross, which if you're not familiar with it, is sort of the classic tarot spread. It's 10 cards, it's chunky, it's a little redundant in places, it is complicated. Anyways, I did one for myself because I wanted to get a bigger picture overview of what was happening. It felt like a good moment. I used a totally separate deck for that, and I'm using a new one for us today. And yet, there are two of the same cards that I was just poring over for myself personally. So I feel a little stalked by these cards, and here we go. Let's talk about them because apparently they seem to be pretty important, at least for my life. And now for the collective, because they're here as well. So our central card for the month of May is the Star. And we've had this in several weekly forecasts recently. The Star is just a deeply soothing and beautiful image. And when I was looking into this card for myself recently, I was inspired to revisit Rachel Pollack's interpretation of the card in her incredible book, 78 Degrees of Wisdom. Rachel Pollack passed away recently, which has been really a lot to mourn. She was such a huge influence in the tarot community, and her book was the first one that really gave me a sense of connection to the cards. It is deeply philosophical and beautiful. It's just a wonderful text. I highly recommend it. And it goes far beyond the basic rundown of card meanings. So it was a really kind of poignant treat to go back and look at her card meaning sections, which really form this beautiful sort of holistic storyline. And when I read about the Star, you know, I think one of the first comments that she has is that, you know, most people, when they see this card, even if they know nothing about tarot, can guess at its meaning. And it was just really nice to hear that about a positive card. Usually people say that, and I am one of them, about, you know, the upsetting ones. The Ten of Swords, for example, springs to mind. But something about being able to look at a major arcana card, which is, you know, this is typically the group that is about these big kind of mythic qualities of the human experience. To say that about the Star, I think, is very just very touching because its meaning has a lot to do with healing, coming home to oneself. And to say that that is something that we recognize innately, I think is really noteworthy. So this card is the center of our month for May. We are really going to be invited into a space where we are caring for ourselves, letting down our defenses, and being cognizant and protective of what is sustaining us spiritually and emotionally. And there's something very open about this card. So we see this completely nude figure. They are kneeling at the edge of this pond. It's a small, manageable looking body of water. And one of their feet is actually on top of the water itself, but it doesn't look like it's penetrating through the surface. It's just kind of sitting there. They have two jugs, and one they're pouring water into the pond, and the other, the jug, is pouring water onto the land. So there is this wonderful image here of using our love, our emotion, our inspiration as a source of regeneration and having this free expression, generosity, and openness around that. So there's no grasping here. You know, we're both returning to the source and watering the ground, the physical, real world, with the contents of these two jugs. And you can guess that there's a connection here between the cups, both in the jugs themselves and the water that they contain. So we are talking here about emotions, about inspiration, creativity, spirituality, having an open, generous, and kind of a community-minded ultimately, but first when it comes to ourself, because the major arcana is all about the journey of the self in a spiritual sense. You know, we're talking about the greater self, the higher self, which I don't like the higher self. It feels very hierarchical. However, if we are tending to our spiritual and emotional needs and being connected with what is feeding that and then allowing ourselves to express it without the desire for control or feeling like we have to be limiting or parsing it out, you know, the more we do this for ourselves this month, the more inspiration and healing and connectedness we're going to get. And we're going to be able to translate that into the physical world. So thinking again about we're watering the ground here, and in giving, we're inviting in more abundance. So we kind of were practicing this a lot last month. Last month, we had the Queen of Cups as our central card. So this progression from the Queen of Cups to the Star is especially beautiful because it shows us last month having sort of touched on the practical human version of this. And this month, we're bringing it into an even more kind of refined, powerful level. So think about how last month you were in touch with things that we're feeding you, we're drawing boundaries and sort of respecting your power with regards to those things, and how this month you may be poised to be a little more free with those. Maybe you've set some good groundwork that you can now use to kind of ensconce you in a little protective shield while you take some more risks, while you start creating in earnest. And this doesn't have to be, you know, in the artistic sense, but just think about areas of your life where you are doing things probably differently, but at the very least in alignment with yourself, your own weird individual self. Now, the card on top of this, and we're going to talk more about the Star, of course, but the card on top of this is the Two of Swords. So this is our environment card, what is happening in the world around us, what is sort of the weather that we're operating in. Now, the Two of Swords is interesting here, and we're going to kind of explore this one together because it is not entirely clear what is, I think this could go two ways, is what I'm trying to say. So we have more water in this card, but you know likely that the swords are associated with the element of air. So we may be feeling individually or through pressure in the world around us a need to moderate, limit, or filter through the more profound experience of the star, filter that through the intellect. And this may actually be blocking us off from the sort of instinctive and messy side of self-expression, self-exploration, of authentic being in the world. Are we trying to shove something wonderful and untamable through this very narrow passageway? Why is that there? Does it need to be there? What are we protecting ourselves against? And I suppose that's the positive aspect I see on this card. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it is asking us to be aware of what we're blocking ourselves off from and why. And that may actually need some attention and maybe will be an important part of us caring for ourselves as the star does. So the swords are really giving us something to work with here. And that is very much their whole vibe. I'm going to just jump ahead right now because they're kind of informing each other in a very helpful way. Because the challenge card that we have is the Seven of Swords. Now, this is a very trickstery type of tarot card. And I have a lot going on as I look at it. There's a big burst of energy. So the bottom of the card and the background of the card are this both shades of yellow. And yellow in tarot is all about energy, creative energy. So we may be kind of bursting at the seams, but wanting to cheat ourselves and maybe others, but to find workarounds to the real star of the show, the star card. And in the star, there's a lot of integration happening. So there's the flow of the water, there's these heavenly bodies, the stars in the background, there's the earth. There's a lot being woven together. It's an entire ecosystem. Whereas in the Seven of Swords, it is this kind of overwhelming burst of yellow, this solar creative energy. So we might be getting high on our own supply or thinking that we have to be so extra and so over the top and just be thinking, doing, producing, that we neglect the whole picture. What we're really trying to do and where we're really growing right now is by seeing our entire life as a creative project and seeing all of our efforts to care for ourselves, and I would say specifically our body in our hearts, as part of that. So in the star, there is this act of giving and receiving. And in the Seven of Swords, there's this isolation. This person is scurrying away from this city of tents. They're carrying way too many swords by the pointy part. Not a smart idea. And they are scuttling off away from something. So overthinking, being too busy, prioritizing the external, visible, explainable parts of our lives is actually cheating us of a feeling of peace and growth, the growth we actually need and have been yearning for. So be aware of like where your mind gets overactive and how you talk yourself into doing too much or neglecting your true self as you go about your life. And it's likely that this is has some seductive quality to it. I think I have such a soft spot for this card because I really relate to it. And sometimes we can feel like we're doing this amazing, innovative thing when we're actually, it's just, you know, same shit, different day. So be aware and also make room for this trickster side of yourself. It's never helpful to try and banish them wholesale. It's going to come back. And if the Two of Swords is here as our environment card, we're definitely in a swordsy mode. So we'll probably be predisposed to try and make our escapes, but just practice putting down the swords and going back. And this may be helpful too, to think about who is there who understands what you're going through and how you can find connections that are based in emotional understanding rather than sort of intellectual sparring or jousting or even the fun debates that we can have. This month, we're really going to want to have those people who just deeply understand us on an intuitive level and can lead us back to the restorative waters of the star. Now, there's a lot to untangle in these three cards, but we're going to go over and just complete the picture for the time being with the Four of Cups. So the Four of Cups is our room for growth, our opportunity card of May. And this one is similarly mysterious because the Four of Cups is a card that has a lot to do with boredom and dissatisfaction. And this is a big contrast with the Seven of Swords that we were just talking about. So, you know, we may be swinging from each side here because the Seven of Swords is running away from that. The Seven of Swords wants to be occupied. There's this feeling of danger that maybe is giving some spice to life. So also be aware if you're kind of cutting corners or taking risks in a way that is somewhat like narcotic. It's giving you a bit of a high rather than really being worth the risk. The Four of Cups is a daydreamy, slow, and receptive state. And receptive if we're playing it right. So that is also an area to be aware of. So try and find time where you can be a little bored, but with the intention of just opening up space for something new to come in. Not pushing, but also not pushing it away. So just be curious about when and where you're feeling just indolent, bored, uninspired. There's something going on this month where we kind of need some space. We need some space to recharge and to also let new things come into focus. And it's going to be a little slow, but that's worthwhile. And I think that's why I'm feeling that the Two of Swords is not just a cautionary card. It's not just in contrast to the Star saying like we don't want to block ourselves out from things. We don't want to limit our output. But it's a step down, several steps down from the Seven, which is our challenge card. So in the Seven, you'll notice that this person is carrying five swords, and there's two stabbed into the ground behind them. They're sort of gazing over their shoulder, looking at it, but traipsing with their feet in the other direction. So two swords in the ground, two ideas that are actually touching reality. In the Two of Swords, which is our environment card, the central figure is holding two swords. Now, many people have noted that this is not a sustainable posture, grasping two swords, crossing them across your body while being blindfolded. You can't chill out there forever. However, I do see this sort of distillation happening between these two images. So, to make this all very practical, think about what two ideas, what two values really are important to you right now? How are they something that maybe you've run away from in the past? How might you bring them into service in your life and use them to sort of parse out your territory with the Star? So the Two of Swords in that sense can be sort of a guardian for this inner place of healing, but it needs to be one that will eventually kind of set the boundaries and then walk away. Because ultimately what's going to be happening this month is we're going to start sharing more. And that is a tender, tender thing. But when we are good with ourselves and good with our imperfections, we can have the comfort and confidence of the Star, totally nude, exposed, but very much acquainted with the fact that when we are being our true selves, we can handle things and that it's worthwhile and illuminating and meaningful to be connected with what really matters and giving it out freely, knowing that it only amplifies our experience of all the wonderful things that we care about. So it's kind of a bit of a, not a knot, but there's this interesting sense of interweaving happening in this reading. And it's not loud or flashy. The only loud and flashy part is the Seven of Swords. So take a lot of time and see maybe even now if you can book some time for quiet, retreat, solitude, and also to maybe set some goals around what you want to share with the world. Because ultimately the star, and we see in this card too, there's a central star and it's yellow, just like the background and foreground of the Seven of Wands. So that creative energy is channeled into something that is not only its own concrete symbol contained, but resplendent and radiating outwards. It's not dominating our lives. It's not unchecked and wreaking havoc. So that is a beautiful thing. And we have an opportunity this month to really centralize focus in on what it is we want to be sharing. And that thing that we're sharing is also a thing that is really transformative and has been really transformative in healing and helping us. Now, we might need some time and space, as in the Four of Cups, to understand that better. But also what I see here too is that if we are really taking the risk, and it's not even that risky, but kind of soothing the part of ourselves that's used to being so protective and spending time in the star, that there is going to be a response. So in the Four of Cups, there's sort of a mini ace moment where there are three cups that the figure under the tree seems very aware of. They're kind of crossing their arms, looking at these three cups. They're a known quantity, and they may be a little bored or, you know, wanting something more. But as they are contemplating what they have, there is a miniature ace, a little hand coming out of a cloud, holding the fourth cup. So as we really start to prioritize our higher self, whatever imperfect saying, but we're going with it, we are also sending out a signal, that yellow star radiating its light outwards, for something that we've been yearning for to come into our lives. It's important with this card to both be open to ennui, stasis, while also remaining open and aware for new things to come in. And I will say this very explicitly, especially triple underline, especially if they are not quite what we thought we wanted. And this is where the cups traits will really come in handy. So rather than focusing on what you think you need and what you think it should look like, focus on what is making you feel the way that you've been yearning to feel. And then think about where that's coming from. So there may be a moment this month where something, someone, some situation emerges from the clouds and it has what you need, but it doesn't look like what you expected. And it'll be really important to be in our star mode and really aware of how our emotions are unfolding, how it feels in our body. Pay attention to that and then see maybe if that is fulfilling some dream of yours or has the potential to, because aces are the beginning of a journey. It's something new that we then have to accept, step towards, and start enacting and feeding in our everyday life. So there's a lot going on here. I am happy that we have another more gentle, subtle reading. And this is actually far more gentle and subtle than what we had last month with two kind of externally focused major arcana cards. That isn't to say this will be entirely chill. You kind of never know until life happens to what degree a tarot reading is resonating for you. But I think for us now setting intentions around the month, that this is really a nice place to start working with the cards, and to be given one major arcana card and having it be our card of the month is just wonderful. So if you have a deck, I do recommend taking out the star, hanging out with it, seeing it as much as you can, and just inviting in anything that really connects you to the experience, imagining yourself as the central figure. So thank you, as always, for listening along. If you would like to get more updates on these cards, more reflections, I do offer check-ins and extra material on the subscriber tier of the Substack. It's a lovely space, and I'm always adding new things, so we'd love to have you over there. And as always, do share anything in the comments. We'd love to hear about what these cards are saying to you now, how they're unfolding over time. And yeah, let's have a delightful, healing, and centering May. Until next time.